Since iTunes only keeps the last 100 episodes of any show, some of our show topics that seem to help the most people are no longer available when people search on iTunes. So, in an effort to make that information available to more people, from time to time we're going to re-air some of our most popular show topics. You can also go to kickitnaturally.com and search for any topic in our search box. For now, enjoy this show that originally aired in 2014.
T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer, my boss, a man, a homo sapien person.
Hair.
What?
Hair.
Hair. Okay, he's got hair. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got hair.
We're going to talk about hair.
Oh, we're talking about hair today. That's right. We also have here with us today, he's got a little less hair today because he shaved off his goatee.
Mm-hmm.
Little hottie patati Will Schmidt.
Hi, Kenna.
Hi, Will. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. For all of our Kick It Naturally listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial so you can check out their service.
Mm-hmm.
Just go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook to find the link. All right, so today we're talking about female hair loss, and this is sad because a lot of times when you have issues, you can't see those issues, you know, but like weight and hair loss, you can see those.
Yeah.
So it becomes embarrassing, you know, if nobody knows that you're having diarrhea 5 times a day,
right.
But they can see your hair falling out.
But on a lot of our shows, we have talked about that you did, in fact, have diarrhea 5 times a day for a long time.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And we talk about it on and on.
Like,
yeah, that's all I talk
about. That was happening.
Exactly.
Right,
yes.
And we do know that we have had listeners from around the world on the shows where we talked about your diarrhea.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It is a fascinating topic.
So it's kind of like hair loss because a lot of people know about it for you.
That's true. That's true.
But yeah, I do see your point that, yeah, if somebody's just psycho, only the people that interact with that person know that they're psycho.
I mean, people know that I'm psycho, but they're my close personal people. People on the outside think I'm usually sweet.
They're in your psycho circle.
Yeah, exactly. I have to love you a lot to show my true psycho. So, Tony, I must love you, oodles.
Mm-hmm. And that guy at the gym last week, you loved him a lot, too?
Yeah,
because you showed a little bit to him.
Oh, I did?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. I was trying to keep it in check.
Uh-huh.
That was actually going psycho because I didn't like the way he spoke to you.
Oh.
So I was getting protective.
Mm.
So, yeah. Don't mess with my
friends.
We're
talking about the stinky guy.
Yeah.
Did you guys confront him?
Yeah, he gave Tony some attitude, too, and it made me mad.
The thing is, me and the girls were working out in this area of the gym, and if you didn't hear this episode, he smelled really, really bad. Where, like, Kenna was actually having dry heaves, mm-hmm. and that was last week's show.
We should have talked about that on the nausea show.
But, so he comes over to me, and he's like, "Are you guys using the bench?" And the girls have been complaining to me all morning about this guy, and this bench is right in the middle of where all the girls are working out. So I'm like, "Yeah, we're using that bench." And I just had Kenna do something on the bench so he wouldn't come and work out right in the middle of us.
And he gave him a little bit of toot. He was like, "Jesus, you gotta use everything, blah, blah."
And that's
when it ticked me off. I was like, okay, first off, you smell, but second off, don't be mean to Tony.
Well, also, second off, you smell. I think the smell should go first off and second off.
That's true. First and second spots.
He should have threw up in his face.
Yeah, I said, "No, you can use it." Throw up on the bench for him.
But that's all in the past.
Mm-hmm, we're letting it go.
Mm-hmm.
So, but today's, you know, it is a topic that, you know, I think that a lot of women are embarrassed about. I know guys have this problem too, you know. But
so the solutions that we talk about today are not the same for guys. It's not for male pattern baldness. Yeah, it doesn't work the same. That's like a totally different thing. And whoever,
so it's not kick it in the nuts today. It's kick it in the vagina today.
Right, today, just for today.
All right, good.
So whoever figures out the male pattern baldness is going to own like the left side of the planet. They're gonna have all the money.
Yeah.
But we're gonna talk about female hair loss today because that is usually one of the specific issues that we're gonna cover.
Well, my hair falls out so much that I'm surprised I have any left. I've always had thin, fine hair, But it does seem
you've always been fine.
Yeah, that's true.
Uh-huh. I've always
Mickey,
been fine.
Mickey thinks so.
Yeah, you're so fine.
But you know, but I do notice that it's like as I'm getting older, I'm like, oh, I hope that comes back. You know, I always just knew it would when I was younger, but now that I'm getting older, I'm like, man, I lost a lot of hair today. I'm hoping that that, you know, resurfaces.
Right, right. And you keep seeing that you have hair.
I do, but it right. is it is kind of an illusion because it's definitely not as thick as it looks, but it's curly, so I can fake it.
Right. So anybody that has hair falling out, just make it curly.
Mm-hmm. And you can fake it. You can make it look full.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week when
okay,
we'll have
I just solved
topic.
Your problems. Send your check to me.
Yeah. So let's talk before we get into questions about what hair is.
Mm. Protein.
That is
oh
very
my
nice. You win. Chicken dinner. Winner, winner.
And if you your HCL, if you're too acid, your acid's going to eat up your protein.
No.
Right?
No.
Oh.
No, that was really, really far.
Well, that was stressful. But, you know, protein.
Right, but now you'll know just the next time you get something right, you'll just shut up.
Okay, okay.
Don't keep going until mm-hmm. you blow it all. Mm-hmm. But let's turn to Will, and I want to have, in this explanation of what hair is, just four fancy words. I don't care what they are or if they have anything to do with the explanation, but if you put in four,
okay,
then I'll be happy.
Okay. How about we talk first about the catabolic? That counts as one, right? The catabolic
uh-huh.
state.
Yeah.
So that's a state of tissue breakdown where your body's metabolizing its own cells for daily functions, whatever you're doing.
And this catabolic state is something that the body moves into every day.
It should, yeah. But
some people are there all the time.
Yeah.
Those are a lot of words.
Yeah, you should also move into number two, anabolic at night, right?
Uh-huh.
Does that count as two?
Sure, okay. That's fancy.
So that's like a rebuilding time when your body is doing more stuff like protein synthesis is the third one.
Okay.
And so your body would generate more hair.
It's a little less impressive when you
yeah.
count them as you go.
Okay.
But it's okay.
Okay.
We're keeping track
right.
and that's what counts.
Okay.
But what about all the other words around those words?
Well,
they're
not
fancy.
Very special. Not special.
Okay.
Yeah. We're looking for very esoteric
okay,
words.
Okay.
Four.
Yes.
Boom.
That's a
ten. Done.
No.
All right. So
that's a wrap on Will today.
Right.
He's done. He's got to go.
Catabolic, anabolic, protein synthesis, and esoteric.
Yeah. We'll throw in some more as we talk more about this. But so if you're in a catabolic state, you're in a tissue breakdown state, and your body's not going to want to spend a whole lot of the protein it doesn't have on making extra hair.
Right.
So it'll actually start to eat up those proteins, and you can get into a catabolic state for lots of reasons. But one of the primary ones we focus on is weak digestion. Like if you're not breaking down your foods.
You said weak digestion.
Weak.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I thought you said weak digestion.
Yeah. Wheat is, no, my people are pointing fingers at wheat enough already. But if you are not able to break down protein, like if you don't have enough stomach acid to make protein into amino acids, you're going to have a hard time. You're going to be shortchanging your body all the time when it's trying to make things like muscles and bones and hair.
And I think that's important. I think a lot of people, understand this one part is that, first of all, hair is protein. That's what it's made up. So you need to have protein as that building block to create hair. But, let's say you eat chicken. Your hair is not chicken. You have to eat that chicken. You have to break that chicken down into the essential amino acids. And then those amino acids can be used to build other protein things.
Even if you were to eat hair.
Right.
We'd still have to break it down.
Break
it's
it down.
Very redundant. It wouldn't just, you know. So
cats.
Yeah. You
know,
they hack it. It doesn't.
Yeah. They have to digest that hairball into amino acids, and then they can build other hair.
Usually then it comes out and it's nausea.
Uh-huh.
And so then we should have had it on the nausea.
Right. It's not nature's most efficient process, but
right. So we understand that hair is protein. So, like Will's saying, if you can't break down protein, then it's hard for your body to build hair. Some people may not be eating enough protein, but I find that that's rarely the case. Usually, people are eating some type of protein, but the important thing is having the ability to digest it so that you can use it.
Mm. A lot of my vegan friends don't eat enough protein. That happens.
Yeah.
Is there like a certain amount? I mean, I know everybody's different, but is there like a good certain amount?
A certain amount of friends that you can have that are vegan?
Yeah.
Or
is there an amount of protein that you're supposed to eat per day?
No.
You know, some people say that your body can't use more than so much, and I don't know how much of that I buy into either. I do find that a lot of people can't eat a lot of protein because they can't digest it, and since protein is harder to digest, if their digestion is not working well, then the more they eat, the worse they're going to feel. So that can be an issue too. But so an important thing to understand with female hair loss is that to the body, hair is like, it's a luxury. It's, nobody's going to die from not having hair. You know, people will just shave his goatee and you don't feel worse, right?
I'm okay.
Right. So when the body has other issues that it needs to deal with, it's not going to make growing hair be a priority if there are other problems in the body that need...
Yeah, but I have a bone to pick with the body. Because okay, you pick the bone. Because why get rid of the hair on the head and put it in weird places?
Right.
Like, because now, okay, when I hit 30, I get these weird whiskers every once in a while. And when I'm stopped at a light, I'll pull out my tweezers. Because it's the best light.
And you're like, stupid body, look how long that hair is.
You oh my God, look at that. It's like 12 inches that, long.
You could have used that somewhere else. Yeah. Where it would have went.
Exactly. And it's like, how did I not even see that? How did that, yeah. So what's up with that?
I have no idea. But, but you know, just think about it. Like the lungs are made of protein and we break down all proteins and then we rebuild them back up. So if someone's in that catabolic state where they're stuck there and they're not moving back to the anabolic state at night when the body rebuilds, then they're kind of breaking down all the time. So if they're breaking down all of this tissue and not rebuilding it correctly, that can create a problem. The same problem can happen if there isn't enough resources to rebuild those things. So we break down the tissues in our lungs and then we rebuild them. But if protein building blocks are limited, the body's going to go ahead and put it towards our lungs before it's going to make hair. So in the hierarchy of important things, breathing is more important than curly, fashionable locks.
You can always get an oxygen tank.
Sure.
But I want to have long hair. Good.
Right. So unfortunately, we don't get to pick the priorities. Yeah. The body kind of does that on its own.
How come it seems more common and prevalent in men for them to go bald as opposed to... It's kind of rare, I think, in women.
For women. It seems rare, but it's actually a lot more common than you would think for women to have an issue with it. Mm. But with men, it's male pattern baldness is a totally different thing than... what we're talking about, and there's hormonal issues that they believe have to do with that, and I don't know what the answer is to male pattern baldness. Mm-hmm. Some people have some theories that I kind of like them, but I don't know if they're accurate or not. But when it comes to females, there are females that experience similar pattern baldness situations as they age due to maybe more male hormones going on. But for most female hair loss, it has to do with protein and either not eating it or the body's inability to break it down and use it, or from the body being in a state where it's breaking down too much protein.
Yeah. And just,
bodily protein, not digested protein.
Yeah. And this is also the same thing in a way, but of the catabolic state, but a different cause is heavy metal toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at like chemotherapy and everybody loses their hair and that, it's because they're putting radioactive substances in your body to create a highly catabolic state to try to kill cancer cells, which whether or not you want to like, we're not going to get into that whole, like
right.
if that works or not or whatever, but that's the catabolic state to the extreme, like all your hair falls
right,
out.
That chemotherapy bores holes in the cells to kill all that stuff in there, but it, you know, that's what a catabolic cell is. It's one that's very open.
Yeah.
So that really makes a person very catabolic, right. So their hair does fall out. Yeah. So it's a good illustration, though, to help us understand that in that extreme catabolic state, you lose all your hair. So in a slightly catabolic state, doesn't it make sense that you could lose some hair?
Right. Mm-hmm. Which, if you have, like, slight heavy metal toxicity, you know, it can be a big thing. Like, if you have mercury fillings or all sorts of ways we can get metals from our water and our pots and our pans and those medications and...
Mm. Interesting. Well, are we ready for some questions, boys? All right. Tiffany, people lose about between 50 to 100 strands of hair each day on average, and about 250 strand as of hair. Strand?
Yeah.
There's a stand.
Strand.
Strand as hair on days that it's washed. Sometimes it seems like a lot because women's hair is long and is more noticeable. Unless you actually see a significant thinning or receding hairline, don't panic. Good to know.
So that is, it's true. I mean, we're supposed to lose hair just like cells get broken down and removed from the body. Hair dies off and falls off, and that's supposed to be the case. Yeah. So the panic shouldn't happen until the big clumps start to come. And
yeah. Maybe one way we can also kind of clue people into, like, if you want to figure out if you're in this catabolic state, if that's, like, the contributing factor, like, you're not going to count, like, oh, I lost 270 hair strands. Like, that's right. Not going to tell you. Yeah. But the other things that we teach you how to look at in our courses online, like at kickitinthenuts.com, a few of the different measurements you can look at to see if you're catabolic are looking at your urine pH, if it's really low, like if it's under 6.0, that's one kind of pointer. And then there's also a urine dipstick test, which, do we talk about that in the 4-week course on digestion?
I think so. And the 4-week digestion course is a free course at kickitinthenuts.com.
Yeah. So there's this urinalysis dipstick test you can do that will measure some things. If they're present in your urine, are a sure sign of being too catabolic. Like if you see protein in your urine on this dipstick, that you're catabolic. Like that shouldn't be in there. And you can also look at your urine specific gravity, all these fancy words, that if your specific gravity is much over 15, that's another indication that you're probably in a catabolic state.
And these are just little dipsticks that you can just pee on. You can get them like on Amazon and stuff like that. They're easy for anybody to get. So there are things you can look at with yourself. And beyond looking at if you're catabolic, if you have digestive symptoms that could show that you're not digesting your food well, that could be another indication of something you might want to fix. Like if you're bloated a lot, that's a problem of low stomach acid. Or if you're having a lot of gas, or you're having acid reflux, or constipated, diarrhea, things like that. If you're having issues that show that you're not digesting food well, then you're not digesting protein well either.
Protein.
It's weird that protein. I said it like that. Protein.
Maybe it's because of the next question. Okay. Avery, Pantene shampoo. There you go. Maybe it's because Pantene. Pantene shampoo and conditioner was the cause of my hair loss the first time I had a problem. I stopped using it, and a few weeks later, I noticed a dramatic difference. If I see somebody from Pantene sitting out watching us in a limo, you know, I'm going to get scared.
Right. Do you think they're going to not sponsor us?
Or they might drop us.
And I have heard from other people, well, I was doing this and I lost hair, I didn't do that. So if it's a thing where shampoo makes your hair fall out, then you're not real strong in the hair growing area. Mm-hmm. It's likely other things that you could do to improve it to where one shampoo is not going to ruin you. Mm.
Christy, yeah, it's called getting older and stress, LOL.
And stress and LOL can make hair fall out. Maybe Will could tell us things about stress that would sound nice.
But getting older, that's kind of a crock, huh? Or what?
Well, you know, they did all these studies. Should we talk about stress first or the older part first?
Let's talk about older stress.
Older stress. Things that used to stress you in the past. But right. Still, you know. But if you are in a fight or flight, stressed out, sympathetic nervous system imbalance, we've talked about this on a podcast all about stress, where your body's going to deprioritize digestion and nutrient absorption, and it's going to spend extra resources trying to deal with the perceived emergency.
Threat. Right. Yeah.
Tiger, I think, is what we always go to.
And you can find that episode on iTunes. We have one that's just on stress and how to simmer down and the effects of being not simmered down.
Yeah. So that will also accelerate aging if you look at like biological age markers. But so that's, so stress can contribute to that. And then getting older is also like you are more prone to like generally exacerbate the imbalances that you have the longer you do them. Right.
Right. And
so with age, it's a buildup.
Yeah. Also, digestion tends to fade with age, which, you know, like when a woman goes into menopause, that's digestion fading to the point where they can't create enough resources to build a baby anymore. And that's a lot of the reasons that a woman will go into menopause. So as we age, the digestive system ages too, and it can be less effective. And people also tend to become more catabolic as they age. That's very common as well.
There's one other thing about it with when we look at hormone levels and how they alter over time. In Rob Fagan's book, Natural Hormone Enhancement, he talks about when growth hormone clinics became really popular, and they did this study and showed like I think it was mostly elderly men that they did it on. And a lot of them, like, they had this huge body composition transformation and their hair got back to like normal color and started growing really robustly again. They ended up, most of them dropped out of that study because they had all these other problems that came from.
Because they were chasing too many women because they had hair again.
Yeah, they were getting like really bankrupt.
So they didn't have time for the study.
Yeah, right. They're like, I gotta go to Vegas. But no, they end up getting a lot of supplementing, like injecting growth hormone is a really dangerous sort of thing. I'm not recommending that. But it showed like the hormone balance had a big impact.
We learn where to emphasize words,
right?
Weird syllables.
I know, it's weird
today.
In here.
We're emphasizing weird today.
Yeah. The emphasis on the wrong syllable. But if you get your hormone levels balanced and eat in a way that helps support that, your natural growth hormone production and natural cortisol levels are going to be a lot more favorable to like healthy hair growth and youthful skin and energy and lean body mass. So that's a really important factor to look at, and learning how to eat in a way that keeps your body out of like a cortisol rich and growth hormone deplete way is important.
Right. And a lot of, you know, so many issues, and this is absolutely one of them. People blame hormones and hormonal imbalances, and a lot of times that is the case and can even be the cause, but they kind of don't talk at all about why those hormones are so imbalanced. And a lot of times it's because resources are low in the body and the body's doing anything it can to try and get things to work right. So it'll jack up one hormone, and then of course that drops another one down too low and causes all these imbalances. But a lot of times if you can just get the body what it needs to function correctly, then the hormones can balance back out.
Yeah, one time George said something about like maybe in low blood pressure, like making things more drama or whatever, creating more drama to raise my pressure so that I'm not like dead or right. Something. So
he was just trying to get you to just calm down. I think. No, but yeah. So if you're over dramatic or even about a situation, you get upset or whatever, your vascular system moves into a more sympathetic state. It constricts and that can raise your blood pressure so you can function. So we find that some people just like to be drama queens for that reason,
because
it helps them function better.
So I guess that's good that I'm an actress, because I will use it. Cherie, I have this. I lose so much hair every day. It's so awful. My remaining hair is thin and fine. My sister recently described it as pregnant mama hair, which made me wonder if it's caused by having low nutrient levels, because pregnant ladies are giving most of their nutrients to their babies. For the record, I'm not pregnant and never have been.
Yeah, like Cherie is in our group, and that's where we got this question. And she's read our book, Kick Your Fat in the Nuts. And we talk a lot about...
your book.
I said our book.
Oh, I thought you said a book.
It's your book. Yeah, just some book.
Yeah.
But we talk a lot about, you know, how pregnant women have lower resources because a lot of those resources are going towards building this other human. So it's good that she's understanding that now, that if you have a symptom that shows up that also happens to a lot of pregnant women, then odds are pretty great that that symptom comes about when resources are low.
Mm-hmm. Man, that would build for a whole, I mean, like, if you're pregnant and your baby's taking all your minerals and nutrients, I would start off being resentful to
right.
that kid.
He's on restriction as soon
as
he comes
exactly.
out.
Exactly. You're grounded the minute you get out. Okay, Kelly, I suspect low nutrients as well. Since I've started the HCL Beet Flow combo, my hair loss is not a problem anymore. Kelly gets a gold star.
Yeah, Kelly.
For mentioning our sponsors.
Yeah, which are not actually sponsors. They're just products that you can get in most stores, except the Beet Flow. But Will, can you explain a little bit about what Beet Flow and HCL does to improve digestion so that you can break down proteins better?
Yeah, so those two together help make digestion happen right. HCL is actually acid that you're adding to the mix, so you break down proteins into amino acids. And Beet Flow is not bile, but it helps your bile flow. So then you get the alkaline agent to neutralize the stomach acid and chemically explode your food and liberate the nutrients from it, so that your body can then be saturated with resources as well, including amino acids that it's going to use to make hair grow.
Right, and you need both sides of the digestion working, and HCl is very commonly used. You could, every health food store on the planet has it because people use it a lot, but not everyone works on the other side, which is the bile flow, and we find that you need beet greens to do that. Don't just use a beetroot product. That's why we use beet flow. And if you can thin that bile, then it can flow. And those combos is what, the combo of the acid from your stomach and the bile is what really makes the food you eat sizzle and break apart. And you can really turn those proteins into amino acids that can then be building blocks for hair.
Mm-hmm.
Janice from Lansing, Michigan. I asked my doctor about my three H's, hair loss, headaches, and hot flashes. He seemed to think it was normal for a 50-ish year old woman. And Kelly says to Janice, I wonder if it's because something happens a lot that automatically makes it normal. I also wonder if your doctor would accept erectile dysfunction in himself as normal. Boom! Yeah.
Uh-huh.
She just brought it.
Yeah. She looked like Kelly. She was going along with it.
And then
boom. Right. And I think that happens a lot is just because something's common doesn't mean that it's okay.
Mm.
You know, and I think that... a lot of people are starting to understand that they can change what they're eating and change the way their body is processing what they're eating. And all of a sudden they can change all these issues that they thought was just part of life and just they were stuck with.
Elaine from Los Angeles, California. I shed like a crazy person. So much hair comes out, not just in the shower, but all the time. Is there something I can add to my diet that will help this, but not affect weight loss? Go.
I guess you can carry a bag just to in case that.
Well, it might affect your weight loss. If you're losing a lot of hair, you might lose weight.
Lose weight. Okay.
Like shed hair like a crazy person, like they pull hair out of their head?
Yeah. For insane people.
Well, working on your digestion can help you be less crazy, so you'll start pulling your hair out less.
Right,
so exactly. That's an indirect solution.
But yeah, so don't look at it like there's a food that you could eat that's going to fix.
You could also switch to baths.
Baths.
Instead of showers.
Right. So don't view it as a food. View it as what is your body doing with food. And the only thing you'd want to view as, you know, a food you need to eat is protein if you're not eating it. But as long as you're eating protein, it's more about what is your body doing with that protein, along with maybe what other issues are you stressing your body with that it can't put resources towards building hair.
And you know what the big thing for Elaine almost definitely is? Because she's in L.A. And she's underweight, and she's starving herself to stay skinny.
No.
Oh, I'm not kidding. Like, for
but that's
real.
Common,
no,
right?
I call it, like, the L.A. girl body chemistry profile. Like, not affect weight loss is her main thing. She's almost definitely under-eating and not getting enough nutrients and not breaking down protein well. And when she starts to eat enough and does these steps, she'll probably stop doing them.
Right. And because she'll get some weight on get some meat on her bones.
Right.
But not eating enough is a stress to the body.
Yeah.
So that's another stress. But, you know, that can't be the only, it could be a lot of things. It could be a toxin overload. It could be a liver's overwhelmed, maybe too many medications. There's lots of different things. And that's another thing when you try and search for, you know, female hair loss, that one of the biggest things they say is that there's a lot of medications that cause women to lose hair. And we know that, you know, any medication is a stress on the liver because it has to overwhelm the liver in order to stay in the body and do the job it's supposed to do.
Yeah, and we can also particularly maybe point out birth control on this one because that for almost certainly, not always and not completely, but a lot of the time significantly restricts bile flow.
Right.
And that's not cool.
And that's going to upset digestion.
Yeah.
Roxanne from Manila, Philippines. Hair loss is from stress, poor diet, and lack of exercise. I changed it for the better and started seeing my healthy, fuller hair. Good for you, Roxanne.
Right, so if you're eating garbage, if all you're eating is junk and you're not giving your body actual nutrition, not only are you not getting the nutrients that you need to build hair, but all that junk is a stress to the body.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean you can never eat junk. It just means that if that's all you're eating, if you're Skittles and Kit Kats and, you know, cereal all day long, that's a stress on the body and that can cause problems.
One other thing, just real quick back to Janice from Lansing when she talked about her doctor saying it's just what happens to women who turn 50. You might want to listen to the podcast we did on menopause and premenopause. And
yeah, early menopause. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, Brittany spells her name. Brittany. It's not Brittany. It's Brittany from Red Rock, Arizona.
She spells the emphasis in the wrong place. Yeah.
My hair is thinning and falling out, and I'm only 19. Any ideas what it could be from and how to reverse it?
Yes. Next question.
Okay.
No, but your age doesn't matter. There's a lot of young people that are having digestive issues and don't have the ability to break down food. So look at the things that we talked about. Do the free 4-week digestion course at kickinthenuts.com and see if there's issues that you need to fix so that you can give your body the resources it needs to grow hair.
Kinley from Los Angeles, California. Last year, I was eating an insane amount of kale and my hair was falling out a lot. Someone told me I was getting vitamin A poisoning from too much kale. I was eating it like every meal. I stopped and my hair stopped falling out.
So I don't know why too much A does this with hair, but I have heard about this a lot, and I've also seen a client actually have it happen. And she was with kale, too, that this girl was doing it, too. So girls must really love kale.
Kale's good stuff. You know?
I like kale, but it was just an over... It was like insane amounts of kale that caused it. Do you have any idea why? I know vitamin A is pro-catabolic, but I think you would have to have a lot to...
I mean, when we look at the type of... like how the body can experience nutrients as toxins when it pushes you too far into the balance, whether it's catabolic or not. Like, you can mess yourself up with too much of anything, really, you know? So
I'm okay with that. I agree that could happen.
All right, Crystal from Cincinnati, Ohio. My hair seems like it always is falling out and very thin and gets greasy very easily. Any ideas?
I have an idea. So if your hair's greasy, you know, think about our skin is somewhere, you know, especially if you also have acne issues too, or your skin also can get greasy, that the body will try and push stuff out through the skin if it can't remove those toxins, like through bile and stuff like that. So if your bile is not flowing and you can't emulsify fats and digest them correctly, the body will try and push them out through the skin and out through the scalp as well. So then that can make your hair greasy. If those bodies trying to remove undigested fats any way that it can. So improving bile flow could help that a lot.
All right. Wendy, I am noticing this too. I'm 54 and assume that it was just a getting older thing. Please tell me it's not. I had such beautiful thick hair when I was younger.
It's not.
Good.
Yeah, that was good news for her.
That was easy. There you go, Wendy. It's not.
I would say it does take more work as you get older.
Right.
Just like keeping fit takes more effort, and your body's maybe less responsive. Like, it's harder to get lean or build muscle. So yeah, maybe you have to put in some more effort, but you can minimize this aging by nourishing yourself.
Right.
All right. Nancy from Southern View, Illinois. I am undergoing chemo, so I have no hair. Can't wait to have a neat short do. Well, we wish you the best, Nancy.
Yes, and we did talk about this earlier, so I hope that this helps you make sense of the situation. And once you're done with your chemo, you could look at your physiology and see if you're in a very catabolic state, and then take steps to heal that a little bit faster by moving yourself a little more anabolic through food choices and supplement choices and things like that.
Yeah, there's also really good book called The Doctor Who Cures Cancer that you might like to read. It's easy to, you can go to thedoctorwhocurescancer.com to just look at like what else is going on with the body as a physiological whole when experiencing cancer.
Right.
All right. Randy from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I think Randy might be a girl because she spells it with an I at the end. So I've been saving the hair that falls out of my hairbrush because I'm losing a lot. Can someone glue them into my scalp or plug them back onto my scalp for me?
Yeah, I think Elmer's glue works well for that.
Don't do the crazy glue.
No crazy glue.
They do have hair plug places now, though, I'm sure that could be arranged.
They can do it with your own hair?
Well, I guess it's probably not as common, but why not?
But I want somebody to try the Elmer's thing. Okay. And just let me know how that goes.
Start saving the hairs from my chin.
Yeah.
Make a beard. Except they're dark. You know? It's weird. It's like one will be like nearly jet black. I'm like, where the hell did this come from in my body? Okay, I'm giving out too much information.
It's too much,
I'm completely hairless, people. So Deborah or Deborah. What's up with the stresses today?
It's okay. Gone awry.
It's gonna be like
Deborah.
Something.
Deborah, I was under the impression that hair loss was A, genetic, B, hormonal, C, health diet related. I've used Nioxin for 10 plus years. Still have hair loss, probably not as much as if I didn't use it, but it is not the answer I'm looking for.
So A, no. B, no. C, yes. And, you know, when you look at A can be involved because you can have genetic predispositions to create imbalances or digestive issues, but that doesn't mean you're stuck with those. You can do steps to fix them.
Your hormones can be caused by your diet and other imbalances going on.
But yeah, health and diet related and your ability to process the diet that you're eating. Yeah.
You know, that whole genetic argument too, because I was like thinking if people are, you know, born or they're predisposed with it, doesn't it also have to do with like the mother's diet? Like you were getting created with what she was eating and so maybe that created imbalances.
I think that counts, and there's a lot of things coming out now about, you know, how the birthing process and, you know, breastfeeding and, you know, how is the gut flora being developed? And were they C-sectioned where they didn't get that gut flora starter thing that happens when you're birthed? So there's a lot of things that can go into all of that, and they certainly can be factors, but if you got screwed for one reason or another, in one scenario or another, there's usually things you could do to try and unscrew yourself. Mm. I didn't.
Now, which one are you talking about? Like, screwed with the genetics of life or screwed now you're pregnant?
Oh, no, that's not what I meant.
Okay.
I meant screwed with the genetics of life or screwed because of some, you know, maybe you didn't get breastfed or something like that.
Okay. Alicia from Tampa, Florida. My hair was so thick, my mom would take me and have it thinned every summer. Now I have two cover spots. Then I try to put it up that will help grow more hair.
I like when people type questions that make not grammatical sense, but then Kenna reads them like that, so it just sounds like she doesn't know what she's doing.
I'm trying to make, I don't know what this is. I think that stops. Then I try to put it up.
I'm going to go with spots.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, when we're young and everything's working right, we have nutrients, everything's going great, but a lot of things can happen in life to turn off your ability to pull nutrients out of food. So if any of those things happen, you end up no hair.
Mm.
Sad. Mai from Agoura, California. Ah, crappers. Talk amongst yourselves. Why is it hello? Oh, thank you. Thyroid causes hair loss. Hypothyroid causes hair loss. Taking the meds doesn't really bring it back.
Yeah, and, you know, you hear a lot about this a lot there in the medical world, especially that thyroid issues can cause hair loss. And I agree with that because the thyroid issues are usually caused by nutritional things going awry and things going wrong and pH is going wrong and go will.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, maybe we'd call this like diabetes causes obesity, or is it associated because bad stuff's happening, creating both sort of symptoms? So yeah, if your thyroid and endocrine system are kind of like slowing down, it's probably because they don't have the resources they need to run full speed. And that's usually because like your diet's off or your digestion's weak or both.
And maybe talk a little bit about pHs and the ability to absorb specific nutrients too.
Yeah, so like one little test you can do is look at your urine pH. It should be, ideal urine pH is generally around 6, in between 6 and 6.5. It changes a little depending on your metabolism, but it should be right around there. If it's far off from that, like 7 or 5, like way off, your body's not going to be able to absorb iodine, and then your thyroid can't run right because that's a really important nutrient that it needs. So even if you're supplementing with whatever awesome bioavailable thyroid you're taking, you're not going to be able to soak it up and use it if your pHs are out of the ideal range.
Right.
Kathy, over the last 8 months, I have lost about half of my hair. I used to have a hard time just finding a clip to hold just the sides on top of my head. Now a clip can hold it all. It's loose, it's breaking and shedding. Help, please.
Okay, I will. See, oh, right now. Yeah, no, right no. now. Oh, yeah. So do all that stuff that
you said. Yeah. Yeah, start with the digestion issues course on kickinginthenuts.com.
Yeah, and it's not only about the course is going to teach you to fix things. It teaches you how to look at your own physiology so that you can figure out, okay, what's the underlying cause for me? Mm. Because it's always, you know, it's different from people to person to person to people to people to face to
person
thing.
To people.
Right.
Yeah. We're all snowflakes.
Mm-hmm. It's so fancy. So see if you can figure out what's going on with you, and then you can also learn the steps to improve digestion. And just, you know, let us know how that goes, because that's kind of fun to hear that, oh, I did that and then it worked. That's just fun.
Yeah, we need to get pictures of, like, people that, like, before and after. Like, yeah. This was me before, now I've corrected my digestion, now look at my long flowing mane.
Right. And maybe you'll send us some of your hair. You'll have so much extra that you'll just cut some off and put an envelope and send it to us. And we'll open it and we'll be so scared.
Yeah. And I'll glue it to my chin to go with my other whiskers.
We have a freaky stalker that's sending us hair. Right. What do we do now?
All right, so everybody, that's our show for the day. If you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com. You can also check out Will Schmidt's site, mybodyofknowledge.net.
And if you learn anything in the show that helps you, then go to iTunes and leave us a review and like, oh my gosh, this helped me. Uh-huh. And if you didn't like anything, then they don't have
reviews.
Keep
your mouth shut.
Yeah, there's no reviews at iTunes if you didn't like it.
There's no like button.
Yeah,
so.
They stopped that.
Mm-hmm. All right. So until next time, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. 'Cause I know a place where the sun is